Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Joseph G. with the good news of 12-Step Recovery and RUM Radio and RUMRadio.org. RUMRadio.org is the 12-Step Sponsorship Big Book workbook and workshop on the Internet. It's a concept of sponsorship that I think has been somewhat ignored, and we've tried to fill in that gap. We're making no money on the deal, and we remain anonymous according to the 11th tradition of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have no credentials, no letters after my name, no certificates of completion, but I have spent the night at a Holiday Inn Express. As funny as that may sound, it means that I have experience, and I have a varied and strong experience, and I found this to be a benefit to my fellow beings, and I believe when we're in the service of our fellow beings, are we not in the service of our God? And that's how I conduct myself most of the time. I want to acknowledge WNAH out of Nashville, Tennessee, who feeds us live Saturday nights over the Internet in Nashville, Kentucky, and parts of, I believe, Arkansas. So, and they do this. Tony Carter and Hoyt Carter and Tony the Horse as a public service program for the benefit of their listening audience and their appreciative clientele who advertise on their program. Also like to acknowledge Recovery Today magazine, recoverytoday.net. It's a free online 12-step and clinical understandings of addiction. Some good reading in there. Who else would I like to do? I think that's about it. I'm doing it alone tonight. My co-host, Harold, is out of town doing his good work. So, and I'd like to get this, and I've been having difficulty one thing or another trying to get this out. So we did the segment Saturday night, and I thought that this might be a good opportunity to clean it up to get this out. We're going to be doing step five from the AA 12 steps. Of course, a lot of churches in particular and other groups, but a lot of churches have taken on the 12 steps, and they've modified them. And they modified them to the understanding of the higher power of God or Heavenly Father and Jesus. And because that's their understanding. But I tell them, and in my church too, which is a fundamental Christian sect, is that if the 12 steps are a gift from, if not a gift from God, why have you adopted them? And if they are a gift from God, why do you feel compelled to change them? Bill W. said, and I concur, AA is spiritual kindergarten. So you have to give them milk, because if you try to give them meat, they will perish. And that's how I conduct the understanding, and it works really well that way. This way I don't have to judge anybody's belief system. They don't have to judge mine. I don't proselyte to them. What I do them is give them the essential ingredients, needs, and understandings of a spiritual malady and the tools to fight that malady. That's it. Step five, a huge important step. They're all very important. Each one is cantilevered or hangs on the previous step. It's like when when Mozart did a concert. I think it was Don Giovanni to the emperor, crown prince, and after the in the audience after the performance, the crown prince came up to him and Mozart said, "How did you like it?" And he kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit, and he said, "Well." He said, "I think it had too many notes." And Mozart said, "Well, which notes would you like me to take out?" And that's how the steps are. They're there for a specific reason. The number 12 is the ultimate authority, and I believe that's the case. Step 5 is a critical hinge point in the steps. At step 5, we admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. The exact nature of our wrongs. The AA Big Book says when we decide who's to hear our story, we waste no time. No time to say hello, goodbye. No time to waste, we need to make haste. We're late, we're late, we're late. The White Rabbit from Alice in Wonderland, who's in a rush. It had no time to say hello, goodbye. So we waste no time, we get right into it. Step four was fairly arduous. I tried a little different tack. We'll be getting into that next week, an abbreviated fourth and fifth step. But usually step five, well, everything is still fresh. It's good to get into it right away. It covers in the big book of page 72 through 75. That cover the fifth step. And step five in the ANA 12 and 12 is pages 55 through 62. Certain questions about the steps that I ask my sponsees. What are the objectives of the fifth step? With whom do you want to take the fifth step? That's it. We admit to God, to ourselves, another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs we have committed as a result of our character defects. I like to think when two or more are gathered in my name, and that's the name of God, God will be there. The term human being leaves no wiggle room. Not my dog, not a recording, not in my diary, not just me and God. Another human being. When two or more are gathered, I will be there. And I think this is a spiritual concept. I know it to be a spiritual concept, that other person is critical. The 12 and 12 says, until we've spoken to complete candor to someone and they've done the same with us, we still didn't belong. Step five was the answer. It was the beginning of true kinship between God and man. So if you haven't, not only does it ask us to hear a fifth step, speak a fifth step, to do a fifth step, but to hear a fifth step, and until we've heard the fifth step, a fifth step, we still didn't belong. We're circling the field waiting to run out of spiritual gasoline. So that's what. Most of the promises that are supposed to come true in step nine, a lot of them come true in step five. On page 76, there's a preponderance of promises that happen in step five. Big step. It's a big step. This is usually the step that separates, well, they say six separates the men from the boys, but this is the one that, if not separates, includes the spirit. It's a highly spiritual understanding. Usually I tell my sponsees, I suggest not for them not to speak in a meeting until they work the fifth step. Because two reasons. First of all, having worked the fifth step, they can speak to the solution. Before the fifth step, they're really just speaking to the problem, getting out the pain. And I need that pain as fuel to get them through to this point, at least. Because by the time they get to the fifth step and they've had their spiritual experience, now they're motivated to continue on because a lot of the pain that they came in has dissipated over the working the previous steps. So I try to do it in 30 to 45 days while the memory is still fresh and the motivation is still severe. Once the motivation gone, once the pain's gone, hey, I'm staying sober. Is that night enough? I'm going to meetings, I'm being accepted by a new group, this is pretty good. The boss isn't kicking me out, the wife is taking me back. Hey, even the dog's coming back up to me to let her pet him. You know, isn't that not enough? When we think of Man Unthinking who says sobriety is enough. So it's working the 12 steps. The 12 steps is the repentance process. Like it or not, that's the way it is. If it's delineated, it's specific, it's true, and that's just the way it is. We have written down our character defects in step four. It's truly humbling to see them in the light of day. It's even more humbling to admit them to another person. It makes them more real and more painful to us, while at the same time, it takes some of its power and a lot of its energy. We write down the fourth step because it has to be written so we can confront them. It's like looking at a mirror of ourselves. And then now in the fifth step, we're inviting another human being. It's a humbling experience. We remain into action in step five. We experience a pain prick that punctures our overinflated egos. The 12 and 12 tells us that scarcely any step is more necessary to long-term, long-time sobriety and peace of mind than this one. all the 12 steps help to deflate the ego. When it comes to ego deflation, few steps are harder to take than step 5. The 12 of 12 reveals that the word humility used in this sense means a clear recognition of what and who we really are, followed by a serene attempt to become what we could be. I like to think of this, I picked this up recently. Humility was like underwear. Essential, unless it can be seen, and then it becomes indecent. I'm honest around the cash register. Cha-ching! How honest do I have to be for cash register honesty? In order to stay sober, you have to be rigorously, scrupulously, accurate, and precisely honest in all your affairs. We're all to all order. It is crucial to be entirely honest. The AA 12 and 12 says few muddled attitudes have caused us more trouble than holding back on step 5. Some people are unable to stay sober at all. Others will relapse periodically until they finally come clean. Really clean house. Even AA old timers sober for years often pay dearly for skimping on this step. We search out the patterns of thinking and behaviors that have served us poorly. This is a strenuous effort to see clearly with the help of another person. What is it about ourselves that we need to change in order to be productive, happy, and whole? We make a searching and fearless examination of ourselves in the loving presence of another human being and God. We're admitting to ourselves all the wrongs we have done. We have often lied to ourselves as much as we have lied to others. We would even lie when the truth would have served us better. Boy, can I relate to that. All we have to change about ourselves is everything. Is that all? One potato, two potatoes, three potatoes, four. Who's going to hear my fifth step behind closed doors? The AA 12 and 12 gives a description of the person who should hear our fifth step. It's experienced, who not only stayed dry, but has been able to surmount other serious difficulties, perhaps like our own. This person may turn out to be one sponsor, but not necessarily so. Who knows? Who knows you better than your sponsor, baby? Your sponsor by now has revealed much about themselves, and it's time for you to reveal more. As alcoholics, we live by the credo, ask me no questions and I will tell you no lies. We have to develop an intimacy and an honesty with our sponsor that few human beings get to experience. We gain confidence in our sponsor in the process and in God's will for us. I've been places, seen and done things that are not written in your books. The A 12 and 12 cautions that even if your sponsor hears your fifth step, it may not turn out, however, that you'll choose someone else for the more difficult and deeper revelations. This individual may be entirely outside of the program. For example, your clergy, your doctor. For some of us, a complete stranger might prove the best bet. The AA Big Book says that the person who hears our fifth step may be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understands and approves what we're driving at, that he will not try to change our plan. That's it. 7 yards to the fifth step goal. Some people, the reason for that is it could be a felony. I mentioned this came up in a meeting just tonight. And I know this for a fact. It was in the Hope Group in Cedar Park, Texas, where I sobered up. And there was a fellow who had committed a felony of some kind. And the police were still hard on his trail. Williamson County is notorious in Texas as a law unto themselves. They're very harsh in their punishment and dogged in their pursuit and prosecution. The detective working the case would not be denied. He investigated and found out, like detectives do, that this fellow was in AA. Having some knowledge of the workings of the program, he inquired as who this man's sponsor was. Getting that piece of information, the sponsor was subpoenaed to court and was obligated by law to reveal what was said to him in confidence. It's a privilege to hear a fifth step, but what's said at a fifth step is not privileged unless you speak to an attorney, a doctor, a clergy, and if you have a death wish, your wife or husband. Your sponsor is not privileged information. So it's something that needs to be considered when hearing a fifth step. Now, some of the deeper revelations can go to the clergy, the doctor, the priest, etc. And then the rest of it could be done with the sponsor, or all could all be done with someone else. It's still the sponsee's call. 7 yards to the fifth step goal. We take an honest look at the shipwrecks, the train wrecks, and the car wrecks, literally. We look plainly and completely at our behavior in order to identify those character defects that got us into the mess we now call our lives. With the focus of a magnifying glass, we look at our past behaviors in those situations that we want to put far behind us. We can start afresh. With a clean slate. Our life's lease has been renewed. We will be identifying the amends that we'll be willing to make in step 8 and we'll actually do in step 9. We humble ourselves before God, to ourselves and to another human being by admitting the exact nature of our wrongs. Emotional memories we feel at the deepest levels conjure up guilt and remorse, now motivates us to address our character defects in the steps to come. These have to be taken on the emotional level. Starts off with step 1. This is a simple program for complicated people. And only at the emotional level will we get relief. We forgive all wrongs, both real and imagined, and in turn receive forgiveness. We forgive even when the fault is elsewhere. No man is an island. We rid ourselves of the terrible sense of isolation and loneliness. We join the fellowship of the Spirit. We are relieved of our guilt and have lost several dress sizes of shame. If we have been thorough, we are free from the shackles of the past and walk free men and women on the road to happy destiny. How do you spell relief? We have planted and sown our harvest is sweet relief, the perfume of forgiveness, and a fresh new healing. A 12-step expression, we are as sick as our secrets. Sometimes we try to keep our deepest, darkest secrets, hoping they will just go away, that nobody needs to know. I can take it to my grave. Our secrets ultimately turn into Uncle Fester and Aunt Putrid. Only when they're revealed by the light of day can they be healed. Step 5 is all about healing and starting over again. A soul lyric from Ray Wally Hubbard's, it's not any easier to be born once as it is twice. We get a do-over on life. The Big Book says, once we have taken this step with holding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had a certain spiritual belief, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we're on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. And I've experienced that as a sponsor and as a sponsee. It's really quite mystical, magical, and spiritual when it's done in a loving, caring guidance of a, of a, of a knowing sponsor and God. Now, if you really want it bad enough and the sponsor even has a little bit of experience, God can do the rest. But it always helps if the sponsor is a little bit more aware of what's going on. My experience. The world is but a stay. Let's see. How we got here. How many fifth steps do I attempt? That depends on how many fourth steps completed. Okay, let me go. How many fifth steps do I attempt? The answer is that depends on how many fourth steps you've completed. Give up? They're the same number. For every fourth step, you do another fifth step. The fifth step is the second half of the fourth step. The importance of being earnest comes into play in your fifth step. The pain that it brought, and the accompanying freedom is offended long remembered. Is often long remembered. The pain is often long remembered. I got to clean that up a little bit. The world is but a stage, but get on your mark, get the right set, and plan well. On the stage, there's little marks that the actors know where to stand. So everything's try to be as organized as you possibly can, as far as where it's going to be and the planning of it. Careful planning can add to the effect that give rise to a feeling of freedom and the release that comes from a well-executed and spiritually directed fifth step. The fifth step experience is closely tied to the sincerity and the commitment you have as a sponsor to listen carefully and closely to your sponsees. The vulnerability we all assume as sponsees in taking the fifth step with another human being is both awesome and inspiring. If we are searching and have fiercely shined the light in the dark crags and crevices of our deepest and darkest secrets, we have exposed ourselves to another person, trusting as we have never trusted before. Confession of errors is like a broom which sweeps away the dirt and leaves the surface brighter and cleaner. I feel stronger for confession. Mohandas Gandhi. I'll read that again. Confession of errors is like a broom which sweeps away the dirt and leaves the surface brighter and cleaner. I feel stronger for confession. To hear another's fifth step is both an honor and a privilege. There is openness and trust, the likes of which with few human beings ever rarely experience. The fifth step is a three-way experience among you, your sponsee, and God. Remember, loose lips sink ships. Confidentiality and anonymity is at the heart of this step. Does anybody know what time it is? Time flies when you're having a good time. As well-executed fifth step could easily take 5 hours, especially if you're from New York, Las Vegas, or anywhere in Louisiana, and some foreign countries, including Mississippi. The Big Book says we have a written inventory and we're prepared for a long talk. There is no rush, as much as the sponsor would like to do so. If you go over the allotted time, reschedule the completion, avoid fifth stepus interruptus. No cell phones, no intrusions, bring a snack, and limit your bathroom breaks. Remind your sponsee that the fifth step includes an hour of solitary meditation immediately after hearing the inventory. For some, it might mean locking themselves in the bathroom. The fifth step is tailor-made to each individual. You can't get recovery like this off the rack. What's good for one sponsee might not be good for another. Pray for guidance and listen to your intuition. I have a feeling deep on the inside of me. Emotional memory or holographic by nature. They color the experience of our lives. They are holographic because they can summon past feelings with the same intensity as when they first happened. Intellectual memories are facts without feelings. Can you feel the heat? The step one is more effective when a sponsee can feel the pain. Anger, sadness, loneliness, guilt, and shame to defects and inappropriate behavior has caused so much trouble in the past. By avoiding these feelings, a sponsee can use intellectual distance to counter the power of the step, and the depths of humility is designed to produce. If you're not a feely-touchy kind of person, hey, don't worry about it. Some folks just aren't, but you do the best you can. You know how you get to be a good sponsor? You have to start sponsoring. You're going to make mistakes initially, and that's okay. Hopefully nobody dies. And eventually you'll know how to have tailor-make it for every individual. Oh, they're all individuals, so you can't really cookie-cutter this thing. On Rum Radio, I give a list of instructions and opportunities, but that's a platform of understanding, not the understanding itself. That comes with time. Coming from doing the work. But it's a way at least of getting started with it. The big book, you know, if you know what pages in the big book and the writing agenda, if you had a good sponsor who had all this laid out and had information to write, you're lucky. If you didn't, and if you wanted it that bad, you got sober. But you're really reluctant to work the step, be a sponsor, because you're really not quite sure what to do or what not to do, et cetera. Like in the real world, it's 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. The other point to make is now we get to look at ourselves with another individual. Now, we're doing that in step four. I went over this. When we get to look at ourselves, it's scriptural and it's spiritual. Looking through a glass darkly, face to face, to be seen but not to be seen as other people see us, to be known but not to be known as other people know us. So we don't really get to see ourselves. It's the human condition. The veil, the dark glass. Face to face is a mirror. So we look through this dark mirror, and we never really get to see ourselves. It says, but then in the scriptures, it means on the other side. After you pass this veil of woe, you get to see yourself. This is an opportunity that few people ever get. You get to see yourselves like other people see you. You get to know yourself as other people know you. Thomas Merton, Travestine Monk, great Christian writer said, if we could see ourselves like other people see us, we would truly be humble. Seurat, a French philosopher, had written that if we could see ourselves like other people see us, we would disappear on the spot. Wow, that's pretty scary. And Robert Browning, the plowboy poet, and a poetry to a louse. If we could see ourselves like other people see us, many a foolish notion it would dispel. So here we are looking at ourselves in a very humbling light with someone else. Holy cow. How scary can that be? I'm ready to disappear if I could see myself. Now I'm with somebody else who can see me too. Oh, brother. At the same time. But that's what it takes. These work. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. There are those who will not or cannot give themselves to this simple program. They're such unfortunates. They seem to have been born that way. They're not at fault. And there's the mentally and the emotionally disabled. They too can get well. Capacity to be honest. So here it is, folks. If you have the capacity to be honest, no matter what your mental condition is, and I've seen it. I've seen schizophrenics. I've seen bipolars that you wouldn't believe that were existing out on the street. Come to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and stay well. The schizophrenics and all their companions that have a whole corner to themselves, and they become productive citizens. The power of this program is unbelievable. when it's done by the Spirit. Taking the ego out of egomaniacs with low self-esteem. It's a room of anarchists, a promoter in a room of self-promoters. It's quite an experience. No one governs. Somebody in my church was saying that our church does not, you know, blah, blah, blah. And after the meetings, I caught the guy and I says, excuse me, this is another group that has the same philosophy. And why that philosophy is consistent and it works is because it's true. And one thing I've noticed about the truth stands alone, like the rat and the cheese, and the cheese stands alone. The truth and the cheese have a commonality. They stand alone. They don't need props. They don't need explanations. They don't need a long-winded rationalizations. They stand alone. And most people will recognize it. If not intellectually, they'll recognize it surely spiritually when the truth hits them in the face. It's funny, in the on a religious note, when Pontius Pilate, Jesus proclaimed, I'm the truth, the way, and the life, and Pontius Pilate asked the question that had just been answered, what is truth? And Jesus already had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he answered the question before it was asked. I always find that kind of fascinating. Quiet is okay. The location, location, location. Where do we do this thing? Quiet as a tomb, comfortable as a lullaby, no distractions, big book and 12 and 12 are ready for action. There's 11 rocks in this foundation. This foundation rocks. We start by asking your sponsor, how do you feel? Oh, how do you feel? There is a lot of fear around taking a fifth step for both the sponsor and the sponsee. Get it out in the open. If they're fearful, acknowledge it. If you are also fearful, admit it. As well as the joy you have at your sponsees taking this all-important step. And asking you to do it with them. It's really quite the honor. Most people don't understand that he's inviting you and God. Wow, be on the same billing with God. That's pretty humbling right there. For guidance and conclude with the serenity prayer. As for the moment of silence, let the moment hang to center your thoughts. I always like to keep a little silence in between the prayers. You know, it tells us, be quiet and know that I am God. Let God work his magic in there. Let him talk. Let him set the stage. Suggest to your sponsee that they ask God for the strength and courage to be honest and thorough in the step. Ask for guidance and conclude with the serenity prayer. Or I do open prayers too. I like an open prayer. To me, rote prayers have their place. I think they're for children. I like open prayers from the heart. I believe if God wanted to hear rote prayers, we'd all be on prayer wheels and mimeograph copies. He wants to know what's in your heart, not what's been written by some real good prayer maker. I believe now this is my opinion, and you take it for what it's worth, and use some more salt with that, is that the Our Father is a template to a prayer, and not actually the prayer itself. This is how we pray. We pray. We ask for the God. We talk to God. We tell him who we are. We put in our shopping list, give us our daily bread, our daily Mercedes, our daily home, and all that. I think you can actually do away with a lot of that and tell them how great it is. I believe it all should come. If you're a Christian, it needs to come into the name of Jesus Christ. I tell my sponsees when they're Christian that making it in the name of Jesus puts a stamp on it. Nothing comes to the Father except to the Son. If they're an atheist or agnostic, then we work from that level of understanding. My understanding is not their understanding. If it is, if we're both on the same page, it makes it easier for the both of us. But if not, it's not a deal breaker, not at all. Pray to whom it may concern. The most powerful prayer you'll ever say is the prayer of thank you. An attitude of gratitude in and of itself is a prayer unto God. We turn to page 72 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is where the fifth step begins. Read the entire fifth step as it's presented in the Big Book, down to the last paragraph on page 75. Do not read the paragraph yet. I alternate reading paragraphs with my sponsee, and I read the first paragraph. The reason that the sponsee will read the last paragraph is very powerful for a sponsee to read. By alternating, we share the burden and make the aspect of the preparation a partnership experience. Here, you read a chapter, a paragraph, I read a paragraph. In a sense, I knew somebody in the program, a friend, David, almost forgot his name, haven't seen him in a long time. A lot of problems. David had a lot of problems. He had a lot of gifts and a lot of problems, which seems to go hand in hand. And he would do the steps itself when he worked with the sponsee. There's a girl, there's a lady in one of the groups that go to, Amanda, and Amanda just recently went out. I think she had 10 years, 11 years, a lot of issues. Some of the issues she never resolved, and she wasn't bothering it, and it wasn't bothering her, and as long as she stayed close to the program and was a good sponsor, everything was cool, but the relapse came. We're sick as our problems, our secrets. And this is, now, who's to say she was good? And one thing she said in the meeting one time really resonated with me. You know, you'll hear, I don't care how long you have or how much you think you know, there's somebody that knows more than you, and there's always something you missed. Trust me on that. And she said that she was working with a lot of sponsees, and I was doing that. You know, I had 7 at one time, which is way too many. I try to keep it to a couple, 3. That's my limit right now. I won't go more than that because it's crazy making for me, and I'm not as productive with my sponsees. Even if it's just one at a time, as long as I'm engaged with one man, I'm okay with that too. My grandiosity is about giving back. And some people use the gather sponsees like notches on a 6-gun. I don't know how many people I've sponsored. I don't keep track and I don't keep count. They'll call me from time to time. I usually suggest that at a certain point in time that they should change sponsors. Some people disagree with in the program about that. I believe changing sponsors, like changing your socks or putting a new coat of paint on a house. Fresh perspective, and it gives someone else the opportunity to sponsor. Not everybody has the same techniques, understandings, wisdom, knowledge, just don't. So it's good to hear from someone else to give them that opportunity and for you to get a new perspective, too. I have the same sponsee for 3,000 years. Okay, so you haven't learned anything in 2,900 years. You know, okay, good for you. You know, like, wow, that's amazing. I believe it's a false sense of loyalty and gratitude to reinforce the fact that, oh, yeah, you know, I got this. But that's me talking. So that's the way I look at it. And maybe it's my personality. Some people don't know me and they don't like me. And then on the other hand, some people get to know me, then they don't like me. It's none of my business what you think of me because you think so little of me anyway. If not in stature, surely in time. And that means most people are so involved with their own stuff that they don't have room for you for any extended period of time. Matter of fact, when people are mad at me, I've noticed that sometimes it's kind of a left-handed praise that there's that you got so much free time in their head, which normally, you know, The only time they would see you is when you were in their face. Other than that, you could be dead and they wouldn't notice it. So it's kind of a compliment, even if it's an anger memory. And the majority of my sponsees, as far as I know, have attained and maintained sobriety in AA. I'm nobody special, not by a long shot. But I do work a certain particular program that I find to be very productive, especially getting them through to the fifth step in a timely and thorough manner. I believe in the Joe and Charlie tapes, Joe McHugh, his book, he did the steps we took, and he had a facility that you could go to for free, I believe it was, that he provided or was provided through a charitable organizations, and they would take you through in 30 days. And that's fairly well the accepted regime, 28 days to 30 days. I like to think 30 to 45 days. Most of the time it strings out longer than that. But I like to get to five as soon as possible. That's when the spiritual experience sure will happen. Not always, but most of the time. And at that point in time, now they can start talking in the meetings, because now they can talk to the solution and not just the problem. And I tell them now they're available to become a temporary sponsor. Wow. Most folks not going to want to do that initially. You know, I try to ride them as much as I can, but it's still just a suggestion. And the reason why I do that, and there's several, and one is that the one immunity we have from alcohol is intensive work with another alcoholic. This activity works when others' activities fail. So get them working with another alcoholic. Intensive work means step work. 12-step work doesn't have to be intensive. It's just helping another alcoholic. Could be a drive, giving them a lift, talking in a meeting, chairing a meeting, all the possibilities when you're helping another alcoholic's 12-step. Intensive work with another alcoholic, that's sponsorship. So that's one reason. And now we've just finished the fifth step in a short period of time. You're talking in the meeting. Let's reinforce the work while it's still nice and fresh. Reinforce that stuff. You know, if you really want to learn the steps, you have to teach the steps. That's my experience. So now you get them in. All sponsorship is temporary. It's either temporary for a day or temporary for a lifetime or anywhere in between. If the sponsor is not working for you, or the sponsor feels that I threaten to fire sponsees. I never really do that. I get their attention sometimes if they're slacking off in the beginning and tell them, hey, I'm gonna put up with this stuff. And sometimes they'll just to prove that they're not gonna let me fire them. I've got one guy, he went through the, although he's floating around, he started drinking again, and he's considering coming back again. And I'm still in contact with him. I call him, he calls me, and we talk. If I have somebody that goes out, whether it's a friend or a sponsee, I do not intentionally sever the relationship. Who am I to judge this guy? He's an alcoholic like I am. That's what we do. We drink. Am I holier than thou all of a sudden? No, not at all. Where is the hand of AA if he reaches out and I'm not there? So that's not how it works. So we call, we talk AA. I talk AA to him. How you doing? How's the family? You know, oh, sorry to hear that. Maybe you're not an alcoholic. Yeah, I am an alcoholic. Well, maybe you need to do something about that. You know what the end of the road looks like before it comes up too fast. You know, maybe you should consider that. Otherwise, look, we were in my prayers, bud, and, you know, feel free to stay in touch. And what are you doing for Christmas? You know, simple stuff, just to let you know that your friend, you love him, and you're still there. It happens. And what happens if you've worked the 12 steps with him, and I've worked the 12 with this guy in a thorough and timely manner, high bottom, executive vice president of some big oil company, HR, makes a lot of money and well-respected and a highly intelligent man, and sometimes that goes against them. This is a simple program for complicated people, and sometimes they can think their way out if they don't stay in the middle of this. Alcohol, it's cunning, baffling and powerful. Sometimes it's too much for us. There's one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. So that's the way I work, strictly on those premises. I'm always glad to see him come back. And the door is always open. We never close the door. I never close the door, never. They want me to sponsor them again, I'll do that. You know, usually I suggest, well, maybe they need a different sponsor because what we did the first time probably didn't catch, or we go over and see what went wrong that we can avoid the next time. So that experience that they had, even when they go out, could be a benefit when they start to sponsor. Because then they'll find the guy, and that's the way God puts it sometimes, just like them, that would have went through the same thing they did, and they can relate to them like no one else can. As one alcoholic can relate to another alcoholic, like no doctor, nobody else who's not an alcoholic can, specific experiences conjure up specific understandings. It just does. So, okay, now we turn to page 72 of the big book. We did the fifth step. And then we're alternating back the reading. A little tedious, but it really covers all the information. It's a great read. It's for a fifth step, encapsulates it. You know, really all you need, and people don't understand that, is the big book for the alcoholic. Now, the Bible and this other great scriptures, I read scriptures daily, you know, but I didn't always do that. I do that now. I read the big book fairly often because I'm reading it with my sponsees. How you can determine if something is a spiritual work, which is an interesting proposition. If you read it regularly and things change. Now, the words didn't change and the concepts didn't change, but what has changed? You have changed. And the eyes of your understanding open more and more. And every time they open, new understandings from previous readings will manifest themselves. And that's one of the tests to find out if it's spiritual. And if it's spiritual, it becomes living. These are not archaic books that have no meaning today. It was written in 1935. So this is, wow, the modern day, the modern age. I wonder if they'll say that 1,000 years from now. 2011, 2012. I was in my church 2 weeks ago, and they're having a Boy Scout jamboree. And Philmont, I think they call it. And it's a very large, thousands, if not 10,000, tens of thousands of boys, and they're going to collect the deposit for the 2013 affair. This far in advance because of the logistics involved in the organization. So I raised my hand and said, well, excuse me, if the world ends in 2012, the Mayans had prophesied, will refunds be made available? Of course, I got a big laugh on that, and then one fellow turned around and said, if the world ends, why would you need a deposit? And then another guy behind me said, see, he gotcha. Yes, he did. So we're not worried about the end of the world right now. If it's not the end of the world for all of us, it's surely the end of the world for some of us. And where are you on your spiritual path when your end comes? Are you really that needy of a lot of people at the time? I don't think so. So this is getting you prepared to meet God and to live a happy, joyous, and free life. So if you keep that in mind, it goes a little easier sometimes. Now, we renew, as a sponsor, you renew your promise of confidentiality and anonymity. This is to reassure them that what they say will be held in strictest confidence. The only thing that travels faster than bad news is good gossip on the wings of wagging rumor. I had a sponsor recently who divulged something I spoke to him, not in a fifth step, but just by talking with him. Now, there's a fine line between, is it a fifth step, or what I talked to him was just, you know. But a sponsee-sponsor relationship, we consider confidential. The law might, there might not be as far as the constitutional law, that it's privileged, but we hold these truths to be self-evident, that if I tell my sponsor something, I don't expect him, I don't want him, I don't need him to say, to repeat whatever I said for whatever reason, whether it's he has good intentions or bad intentions, to save my life or not to save my life. If I told him in confidence, I told him not to be repeated. That was my decision. And he did. He talked out of school, and I had to fire him immediately. That's just the way it is. Sorry, kiddo. And he was a good friend. We still talk. But that had to be imprinted, that's not acceptable behavior for a sponsee. And if that ever happens, I suggest the same thing. Go to your sponsor and discuss it with them. And if you feel okay with that, then you don't have to let him go. But my experience is that if he did it once, he'll do it again. And when he breaks, trust is hard to fix. You know, once that's broken, you know, once there's a crack in that relationship, even if you could put it back together again, your eye will always be on the crack, even if it's the size of a hair. I'm just good. I say, okay, look, some people are there for a season, a reason, or for a day, and then it's time to move on, get another sponsor. It's not that hard. I outline it in the website, questions, an interview for a sponsor, works really well. It develops a dialogue. Not so much what the questions are, which are really important, but it develops a dialogue, and that dialogue will see if there's a commonality. It has to work for both you and the sponsor to work for either or both. Okay, this is where the rubber meets the road. Have your sponsees read their entire four-step inventory so nothing is left out in the cold? Has he been thorough? Look for repetitive patterns of behavior. This is what we're really looking at. Are we doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome? Where's the insanity? Consider doing a mini fifth step of your own in order to share experiences on your sponsees won't feel alone or unique. Don't get into, I can top that story. Oh, you had one dog. I had three dogs. Oh, you had a Corvette. Well, I had a Lamborghini. We don't get into that. Just some associate things might be a good idea to say, yeah, look, I was a jerk too. I've done some of the same stuff. Look, you're not talking to the choir here. You're preaching to the choir. If it's not clear from the presentation, ask your sponsor to list the character defects that continually come to the surface and cause the most trouble. Double, double, toil, and trouble. Has your sponsee left out any character defects that you are aware of? Ask about them. Has grandiosity been included? If not, ask them why they still insisting on being called your majesty. What about those resentments? Does their poison pass over? Have we taken a closer look? Have the fears been listed and the people we have harmed? Let's take a closer look at the seven deadly sins. If you think they haven't been covered, pride, greed, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth. The sin as it is only applied to the character defect. We don't like to get into the sins of things. You know, we don't do the sin deal with this. These are just character defects that are easily identified. Pride is always the number one character defect, and what I've experienced is pride is the number one character defect because it disavows the existence of God. Tell me the good, for I weary of the bad and the ugly. Give me the assets. Some are real keepers. That's fine. Let's do them now. The positive inventory. Once completed, ask your sponsee if there's anything else that they neglect to put down. The great train robbery, five polygamous wives, a bogus entry at the church, bake sale, searching, a fearless, most of all, honest. This, the slate's clean if we leave nothing out. We can walk away from this step, a free human being. Hold on to your hat and your copy of the four-step inventory. You will need them for steps 8 and 9. The amends list will be generated from the 4th and 5th steps. The last paragraph on page 75 of the big book describes what your sponsee should do after completing the 5th step. You suggest they return home. Be quiet for an hour. Review what has been revealed to them in the 5th step. Review the first 5 steps. Thank God for the spiritual process that has been made. For knowing God better, as the AA Big Book puts it. If you ask yourself, is there anything that has been omitted in taking these those steps? Tell your sponsee the step has not been worked until all these actions have been taken. Remind your sponsee that they're there to call you at the end of the hour to discuss any revelations, thoughts, and feelings. Tell your sponsee what has happened in the past now belongs to the past. Their slate is clean. They are now free. Close with a prayer of thanksgiving. Invite your sponsee to follow yours with one of your own. Close by saying the Lord's Prayer together if appropriate. Otherwise, use the Serenity Prayer. Like I said, any prayer will do, I think, in that situation. But, you know, you got to feel it out as a sponsor. That's one of the things a sponsor does. Returning home, I'm going to read you that paragraph. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour. Be quiet. Reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps, carefully reading the first 5 proposals. We ask if we have admitted anything. We are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Solid stones. Have we skipped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? If we can answer to our satisfaction, we now look to step 6. Well, this is Joseph G. with the Good News of 12-Step Recovery. This was the 5th step. I did this, there was no call-ins, and I really didn't want anybody. This will be eventually put onto the website under the 5th step column, so this way it'll be audio as well as, and you could download it into your MP3 player to make it more accessible. This is all big book and 12 and 12 information. Next Saturday, we're going to be doing the abbreviated 4th and 5th step, which I use most of the time now. It's about 60 years old. It works very well. It stops the 4th step interruptus or the 4th step itis, where folks stall on the 4th step because they really don't know who Mrs. Brown is and the rest of it. And this is, everything's covered, but it's covered in a little different format, and it works real well. So, again, this is Joseph G. with the Good News of 12-Step Recovery. Thank you for your time if you're listening, and you will eventually because I know this is good stuff. It's good for me to do it. I hope it's good for you to hear it. See you on the radio, Rum Radio. .org